Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
I have a very high tolerance for risk. So a lot of people in this world, I would say 97 to 99% of people in today's society do not have a high tolerance for risk. They love to be comfortable and they love to feel safe. You know, they love to feel safe. So me, I don't like to feel safe. I get uncomfortable being comfortable, if that makes any sense. If I start to feel a little comfortable, if I start to feel a little safe, if I start to feel like I'm not growing, I honestly start getting some kind of anxiety and almost like a depression almost, because I got to keep moving, baby. I got to keep going, man. I don't like that.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very special treat. He's a real estate mogul and a badass super entrepreneur. He is the All-In Nation CEO, a dream chaser and conqueror. He is living and breathing the American dream. He's a phenomenal human being and just an overall juggernaut in all facets of life. Please welcome Carlos Reyes. How you doing, Carlos?
Brother, I'm just blessed and glad that we're finally able to make this happen, right? I know there's been, kind of like we were playing tag a little bit, but we're here and I'm excited for today, man. I heard nothing but good things about you. We have a few friends in common and I hope that everybody's is really served with today's show.
Yeah, I love that. And we just launched in January, but we're already at 60,000 downloads. So there's a big audience. And I've specifically been looking forward to this one for a while because I'm such a big fan of yours and you're just on fire and you have my word. I know you've done these before. We'll keep it fresh today and we absolutely will manufacture magic.
I love that. That means the world to me. I thank God, obviously your show definitely is a good show, because one of my staff members here, Brittany, who somebody, your assistant might have spoke to her, right? She always makes sure that we get nothing but quality. So the experience with Craig Siegel must be a pretty quality show. So I'm excited to just serve the audience today, man. Thank you.
We're on the same page, brother, and I appreciate that. And we're going to jump around because I definitely want my audience to hear about your journey, which really hits home to me. But we're going to start off, we're going to get a little weird. Simply put, Carlos, what is your superpower?
Well, I would like to think, so my favorite superhero growing up was Superman, right? Superman, and he definitely has a lot of different superpowers, right? He has, you know, strength, flying abilities, you know, laser beam eyes, right? He can blow cold, freeze you to death with his breath. I would love to think that I have several superpowers, but I think one of my superpowers, brother, is the ability to overcome adversity. That's one of my superpowers. Now, I don't want to take away from the fact that I have a very high tolerance for risk. So a lot of people in this world, I would say 97 to 99% of people in today's society do not have a high tolerance for risk. They love to be comfortable and they love to feel safe. You know, they love to feel safe. So me, I don't like to feel safe. I get uncomfortable being comfortable, if that makes any sense. If I start to feel a little comfortable, if I start to feel a little safe, if I start to feel like I'm not growing, I honestly start getting some kind of anxiety and almost like a depression almost, because I got to keep moving, baby. I got to keep going, man. I don't like that.
I love that. And you speak it to my soul because I agree 100%. The biggest, the most rewarding opportunity for growth is obviously when we step out of our comfort zone, not inside that little box.
So I agree with you. I love to be uncomfortable, brother. I, at this point in my life, man, if it's something that brings me comfort, I don't even want it. Like outside of my family, right? Outside of my family, brother, I don't want it. And I'll give you an example. I was on the road, doing a couple of speaking engagements here these past 10 days. And I wasn't used to being on the road for 10 days in a row. Okay. But what I will tell you this is what I kept telling myself during that time, Craig, I was like, This is only expanding my capacity. I'm expanding my capacity. I'm expanding my capacity. That's what I kept telling myself, because I was very uncomfortable being away from my home, being away from my businesses, being away from my staff, being away from my family, being away from my routines, right? Everything that I do, everything that I know, that was making me really uncomfortable. So all I kept telling myself was, I'm expanding my capacity, and this is going to serve me and serve others. So that's how I feel about the whole comfort versus growth type of deal.
Yeah. And just like anything else, you have to condition yourself to be comfortable being uncomfortable, so to speak. Love that.
Every great entrepreneur, brother, at some point comes to that conclusion and to those crossroads where they understand, like, where there's comfort, there's no growth. And in order for there to be growth, there cannot be much comfort. So I want everybody out there to really understand that. If they don't understand that right now, at some point, I can only pray that they reach a level to where they will comprehend that.
Yeah. And for the audience listening, that's just so valuable. You got to step out of your comfort zone if you want to achieve greatness or legendary status or things that you've never done before. You have to do things that you've never done. So I love that you touch upon that, Carlos. We're going to get a little deep now. When did you officially become Carlos 2.0?
Man, when I went all in, you know, no pun intended, to one of my entrepreneur educational companies, allinnation.com. When I quit my job, my corporate America job that I was at for a very long time, when I quit that job is when I went back to my roots, my immigrant, high risk, you know, high tolerance for risk roots. Brother, that's when I just, man, that's when I kind of came out of this cocoon. You know, I became it's almost like that freaking caterpillar that becomes a butterfly and actually begins to fly, right? That happened around 2014. And brother, I can tell you this, I was an entrepreneur in a company for a very long time. I was the ultimate yes man. I never made more than $70,000 a year, okay? And I was there, like, I worked my way up from nothing, right, to becoming like a, you know, regional manager, you know, traveling, training, hiring, developing in other states for this company. I never made more than $70,000 a year. And I can tell you this, brother, since the year of 2016, I don't remember the last time that my CFO didn't allow me to pay myself less than $100,000 in a month. So that should tell you something. That should tell you something. Sometimes we have to be willing to, like, bet on ourselves, go all in, so we can actually trade the good for great. So I want people out there to really understand that great is not going to come until you're willing to trade the comfortable, the good, for the great. So that's when I actually became Carlos 2.0.
I love that. And just to be clear, like, where you came from, and we're going to get into that for a little bit, like, you know, the 7,000 week, whatever the case may be, like, you were in a good position compared to most. But that never stopped you. You never, like, didn't have.
Brother, just in case you don't understand, I used to make $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the last time that I paid myself less than $100,000 in a 30-day period, right? Yeah. I want people to really understand that, right? Sometimes you got to be willing to trade your $50,000, $60,000 a year job to what could potentially be $50,000 to $60,000 a month type of career, type of trade. I want people to really understand that.
Yeah. And how did Carlos do that? And obviously we're going to dive in, but in a nutshell, he bet on himself and he invested in himself, which is the most valuable investment you can ever make.
Absolutely. Man, you know, a lot of people out there, they want to, but guess what? They're their own limitations. They are their belief system, you know, their upbringing, their programming, their, you know, their tolerance for risk, their lack of adversity. You know, they're afraid. They're so afraid to bet on themselves. But the one thing that I want to tell people out there, and I say this time and time again, this is one of my favorite things that I say, because this is something that my mentor taught me. When you bet on yourself, God goes all in with you. Things begin to get out of your way like you would not believe. The universe tends to start just saying, get the hell out the way, get the hell out the way. There's somebody coming that's not going to take no for an answer. There's somebody coming that's going to persevere, that's not going to quit. So let's just get it out the way. That's what the universe starts to do for you. Like I said, when you bet on yourself, God goes all in with you.
Yeah, and when you're aligned, just like you said, the seeds begin to part. That's so, just so relatable to me. I love what you said on me.
Absolutely, brother.
You were born in Mexico?
Yeah, check it out. I got the – you see that mark?
Yes.
Yep, they give all – they give us all Mexicans that brand. Like, it's like they brand us or something, man. Like they do cattle, you know. It's a – it makes no sense. But, yeah, I was born in Hermosillo, Sonora, which is a northern – northern part of Mexico. And then at the age of 2 or 3 years old, after my alcoholic drug addict father put my mom and myself against the wall and started actually shooting at us, my mom felt the need to commute down about an hour south, hour and a half south, to my grandparents' house, my nana's house, you know, rest in peace. And this was even a more poor, like, this is, brother, this is like dirt. Like, when I say I come from the mud, when it rained, you would not believe the amount of mud, because it was dirt roads and dirt floors inside my home, right? I had a 300 square foot, almost like a shack, with a laminate roof, right? And in the corner, right? So we had, imagine this, 300 square feet, okay? That was 300 square feet, the living area. Then we had about 100 square feet of a somewhat of a kitchen, if you want to call it. It was all dirt. It was all dirt. On one side of the 300 square feet, you have my grandpa and my grandmother sleeping in one bed. And man, you know, it brings back some memories. And then on the other side, you have me and my brother on one twin bed, and then my mother on the other bed. And, you know, that's how we lived. We lived for a majority of my childhood. In the corner of that living area, living space, my grandfather built about a 10 by 10, little concrete block with a drain. And we didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity up until the sixth grade, by the way, for people out there that are wondering. Like, I was really on some like Slumdog Millionaire type of, you know, childhood. The way that we would get water is a truck would come by every week with a big old tank behind the truck. And we had these huge buckets, these huge gallons in front of the house. And we would pay the man to fill those big containers up. And that would be our drinking water and our you know, living water, like washing and showering. And right. So the way that we would warm up the water is my grandmother would have literally a fire in the kitchen over like a metallic kind of pan type of thing. That's where she would warm up the water. And then that's how we would, like, literally in a bucket with a plastic container, take showers out of. And in the backyard, we had a washing board. And in the backyard, my grandfather built what's called kind of a back house, where we would actually use for number one, number two, the restroom, right? Like a hole on the floor, by the way. And this little back house was made out of wood. So, yeah, brother, that was my childhood. That was my childhood. And I didn't know any better. Ignorance is bliss, right? I did not know any better. That was my childhood, bro. And I wouldn't wish that type of childhood on anybody. I have two daughters of my own, and I'm just blessed that they have electricity and they have running water, and they have a good foundation with myself and my wife, you know, to take care of them and support them. So on top of all that, if you're wondering how I made it to this country, right? My mother, God bless her soul. I freaking love that woman. She is a visionary. She is committed. She's an entrepreneur. You know, my mom didn't become a millionaire, but I'll tell you what, you know, she paved the way for her son to become one. And why? She took risks. She came over to this country for 2 years. She left my brother and I. And the only way we would hear from her is the neighbor across the street from us. He actually had a working telephone, right? One of those telephones. There was no cell phones in the mid 90s, really.
Right.
One of those telephones that, you know, against the wall, Fridays, 5 p.m., my mom would call. Hey, I sent you guys $20. I sent you guys $10, right? How are you guys? How's school? Blah, blah, blah. That was 2 years, bro. 2 years at the age of four, at the age of five, like living without my mother. And she was just trying to, you know, create a better future for her sons, you know? So I don't blame her. I love her, you know, but that really did hurt me. You know, the unintentional abandonment, you know, it could hurt any child at that age. Yeah. Right. So anyway, 2 years later, she saved up enough money. She went down, grabbed my brother, grabbed me, tried to bring us in through a sewer system in Tijuana. There's a little small town called San Ysidro next to TJ in the San Diego border. She tried to bring my brother and myself. We got caught, kicked out, went to my aunt's house for 48 hours in TJ, went back to that sewer system, made it through, went to Escondido. I only lasted the third and fourth grade before we financially failed. Back to Mexico we go, and we're depleted. We're discouraged. I'm telling you, brother, we are pretty much borderline depressed at this point. All the sacrifices, being without my mother for 2 years, you know, everything you can think of, you know, going through the sewer system to get to this country. And in 2 years, it's just like, and we're still illegal. Like, we're illegal at this point. So we're like, well, we're going back to Mexico. I don't think we'll make it back. Right. We make it back. My mom, being the entrepreneur minded individual that she is, she comes up with the plan. She says, son, I'm around the fifth or sixth grade at this point. So you're going to bag groceries at this store. I'm going to clean hotel rooms at this resort. She's going to use her money to survive for us. We're going to use your money, Carlos, and I'm going to save your money, and I'm going to get enough money to get on a bus, get to Phoenix, start working in the fields again, right? She was working at a nursery, and then I'm going to bring you guys one by one. She learned from her failure, right? Because, you know, she's an adult. We're not, right? The second time, a year later, okay, here goes another year without my mom. The second time, she pays a coyote $25 to jump me through a fence in Nogales, Arizona. We get to Nogales, Sonora, border of Nogales, Sonora, Nogales, Arizona. I jump through that fence. I meet her at McDonald's. She contrabands me up to Phoenix, Arizona. She starts working on my paperwork in 1997. And then at first, you know, it took me a lot to get a work permit here and then become a resident here and then become a citizen of this country. So I want everybody out there to know, man, that, you know, it's been a crazy journey for me. And, you know, I had to go through a lot of personal development and a lot of therapy, right? I did a lot of therapy work with Dr. George Pratt out in La Jolla because I had to get rid of a lot of this childhood, like, you know, trauma and yeah, you know, man, like suffering. And it was a very traumatic childhood for me, man. And
yeah,
but I know that it fueled me to become the person I am today. So
absolutely, no question. And thank you so much for pulling back the curtain and actually painting like a very specific visual of how you were living back then.
I wanted people to really know what it took for me to be here and to build the things that I've been able to build. You know what I mean?
I know what you're thinking. You're asking yourself, how's this guy's hair on such fire? How is it so nice and thick? I want to tell you about the hottest hair styling product line. The brand is called Ryan Scott. I've been using this styling cream and shampoo and conditioner for about a year now, and I can tell you it's absolutely on fire. There's a few things that set it apart from the competition. Number one, the smell is amazing. It's a fresh fragrance of aloe, cucumber, and grapefruit. When I'm working out or on a run, the product doesn't irritate me. In fact, it's invigorating. These products can take you from the bench to the boardroom. Ryan Scott, the founder, is a dear friend of mine, and we're offering exclusively the CLS Universe a special promo. Enter code CLS. Thank me later. Yeah,
it wasn't easy, man.
Let's just tell the audience, like, not to be too harsh, but like a lot of people, like, they have this limiting belief. Well, I don't have any connections. Did Carlos, like, you just hear his story?
I wasn't even legal in this country, man.
Wasn't even legal.
I was most of my life. So imagine this, right? You're a kid, you're illegal, you're a teenager, you're illegal, and you're always looking out. Like, you're like, I hope they don't get me. I hope the cops don't get me. I hope the immigration doesn't get me, because if they get me, you know what's going to happen. I'm getting kicked out, right? I spent 80% of my life in that type of survival anxiety mode, right? So when you're in that type of phase, brother, when you're in anxiety mode, you can't really be the best version of yourself, because you're so busy trying to survive.
Yeah.
You know, like, how can I really get all this clarity and become this, like, this superhuman, this super entrepreneur, when all I'm trying to do is not get caught and get kicked out of this country?
It's a lot of energy that requires.
Oh, brother, every day, I'm like, man, I hope the school, you know, I hope, what was it, middle school? I went to seventh and eighth grade here. I hope middle school doesn't find out that I'm illegal. I hope my high school doesn't know that I'm illegal. You know, imagine, like, every single day I'm living in the shadows, you know?
Yeah.
I'm living in fear every day. That does something to you, man. That really rocks you to your core.
And a couple of things, like, first of all, your mom is absolutely amazing. What a visionary. You're not kidding. But also, like, your work ethic is something that I really gravitate towards. It's one of my favorite parts about you, because I know how you always speak, like, I still work like I'm broke. And I love that about you. And now I completely understand, like, the whole background, like, where you got this from, like, seeing your mom do it. And then obviously you guys have to go through all this. And that stuck with you. Like, you're still humble. You have the mentality like you've never arrived. You still work like that.
Brother, I haven't arrived. And I don't think I ever will, because, you know, this journey in life, man, it's like, when do you stop growing, right? Like, never. Like, never. You never stop growing, right? You never stop learning. And like I said earlier, man, like, my mother, literally, you know, I couldn't have had a better example, a better demonstration of what it takes to actually be successful. And my mother to this day, even though, man, praise God, bro, I retired her in 2017, right? I'm like, Mom, you never have to work a day in your life. Like, Mama, what do you need? Like, what do you need? I got you. What your mortgage is paid for. Your phone is paid for. Your insurance is paid for. Like, what do you need? What do you need? Right. Like, well, you know, I want to go to Mexico. Here, I bought a Sprinter van. It's a 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Right. And she went down to Mexico literally this past weekend. And I'm like, Mom, here's the keys to the van. How many thousands of dollars do you need to go down there and have a good time? Right. Like, that's where we are today, man. And brother, it is a complete 180 to, you know, to where we were. Right. Like, now she comes and she's like, damn, like, my family's like, damn, she's pulling up in this, like, Mercedes-Benz brand new bus. Right. Like, where's she took my sister, because I have a younger sister. She took, you know, my nieces, like, she took the whole fam down there in this Mercedes-Benz van. And, like, the family in Mexico are like, how the hell did you go from, like, extreme poverty to, like, rolling up in a van with, like, lacking and needing nothing, right?
Yeah.
And, man, I just want to make the rest of her years, like, the best of her years. You know what I mean?
100%. Family means everything to me. Another thing that I love about you. So when
always.
How did you segue into the other job that you maxed out at 70 grand a year for? And then also, like, based upon everything you just told us in the audience, like, once you got to 70 grand a year, like, you and I think very big. Like, we know that that's nothing. It's just the beginning. But, like, for the average person out there, like, you, that's coming a long way. What's the mindset required to think 70 grand a year is just a small appetizer on where I'm heading?
It's like this. I was always the man of the house. My mother always made me the man of the house. You know, my father wasn't around, and he's trying to come back around now. And don't get me wrong. You know, I don't have nothing against my father, you know, in case he ever listens. He doesn't speak English anyway, but he's down in Mexico. But I don't have nothing against my father. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I was the man of the house. I am the oldest in my family. And I had to work from a very young age, brother. Between the seventh and eighth grade, I was already, you know, I was already working, getting paid under the table at construction sites, right? I'm in a wheelbarrow, like, just picking up after all the construction workers so I can save up enough money for my uniforms and my shoes, you know, and my lunch for school, right? So that was already happening. And by the way, I was like, man, like, I was infatuated. I was just blown away with the way that, like, these construction workers would take a shell of a house and make it into this beautiful rehabbed, right? Like, marble countertops, tile flooring, right? Ever since I was, like, in middle school. And guess what I do now, right? Like,
really?
I flip houses in different states, you know? So I was just blown away. And you know, thank God that I was able to become an investor. That was one of my dreams. But anyway, I always had that work ethic because of my mother. So I started working at a really, as soon as I could work legally, I worked, right? I started working and that was it. Like I started working, no college for me, right? And I am very grateful for corporate America because I learned so much. Like things that this book here teaches you, Scaling Up, right? Rockefeller Habits, things that like Traction and Scaling Up, some of these books that I've read over, you know, over the years, I learned a lot of that from corporate America. Like I was one of the youngest managers to ever manage other people, you know, and I learned how to hire, how to train, how to develop processes, systems, you know, how to keep track of my net profitability through key performance indicators. Like I learned all these things in corporate America that I'm extremely grateful, by the way. I didn't go to college, but that was my college, right? Hands-on experience and becoming a leader in that company, being an intrapreneur, growing inside the company, right? But at some point, I got screwed over. Corporate America, you have no control. Like for those of you out there, and God bless you, listen, if you're happy, be happy. You don't have to do what I do. You don't have to do what Craig does. If you're happy working your 9-to-5 job and having, you know, clocking out and going home to your family and, you know, be happy, right? Having your, you know, 1-week to 4-week vacation and your 401k and your IRA, be happy. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. I know a lot of great people that actually do that. But for me, once I got screwed over, all right, I was like, I got screwed over. How did I get screwed over? I was working towards a position that I was promised for 4 years and they gave it to somebody else that wasn't even worthy of it. Okay. And what did that tell me? I'm like, you have no control. You have no security. And just like I said, like somebody else, like your future, your faith, your family's financials or finances are in the hands of somebody else. So that really, that was a red light. When they screwed me over, I said, this was about 2013. I was like, you know what? I got to do something else. I got to do something else. This is not, man, I gave my all. I was the ultimate yes, man. And you know, one day I got an 8-year-old and a 2-year-old daughter. I got 2 daughters. One day my daughter is going to grow up and say, daddy, 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 can you buy me this car so I can get to high school? And I'm not going to have enough money to do that. I'm not going to have the resources to do that for her. Right. And then more than likely I'm not going to break the trajectory of my family's, you know, financial, right. Financial failures. I'm not going to break that. At that point, brother, I rose up like a phoenix rising up from the ashes. Right. I'm like, okay, you know what? Screw this job. I came back and I said, hey guys, I said, this is the deal, right? I can no longer give you 70 hours a week. I can give you 40 hours a week. I can no longer work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday to Saturday. I can work from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'm going to start working on leaving this job. I don't know if I was pissed off, but I was so transparent.
I was about to say, talk about transparency.
And I was like, they're like, what? Right. The vice president is like, what did you just say to me? Right. What are you going to do? Right. And I'm like, listen. Hey, if you guys don't want to keep me around, I totally understand that. I don't blame you. But this is the deal. This is what I'm going to do for the next 12 months. And sure enough, brother, as soon as 3 p.m. would hit, I would go out and start putting out banner signs, read books, you know, network, attend real estate investment association meetups. Like I was out there I became obsessed about, you know, starting my own business. Right. And finally, man, like I didn't have no money for those of you out there that are still working, you know, corporate America, I was saving up $200 to $300 every check. Like, what is that going to really get me? What kind of vacation can I provide for my family? Right. So I'm over here saving $200 to $300 every other week because I'm getting paid, you know, biweekly on Fridays. So I'm like, damn, right? I don't even have enough money to even like invest money into flipping or not. So I got to start from the mud. Like I'm putting like bandit signs out there, you know, 6 months, 2,400 bandit signs. I land my first deal. After my first deal, brother, I never looked back.
Yeah, I love all this, Carlos. And look, I'm a big believer in preparation breeds confidence. I do a lot of homework on you because I have so much respect for you. And I've heard you say, and this applies to what you just said, bills are paid 9-to-5, empires are built from 6 to 12, right?
Yes, sir. In my case, 30 to 12. Yeah, in my case, as soon as I was out of that job, I wasn't going home and watching, you know, or sitting on the couch or anything. I was like, I was working harder after hours than I was during. I was on, like, brother, most 9-to-5 corporate jobs, like, you're literally in cruise control, right? You're like in cruise control. It's not, for somebody like me, that's not enough.
No.
Right? Okay, I'm in cruise control, but after, like, after I'm done with this job, I'm going hard. Like, I'm putting out bandit signs. I'm networking. I'm doing anything and everything to learn this business and get going. And I want people out there to understand this. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to start.
Yeah.
You just have to take action. I didn't have an LLC when I flipped my first property. And when I say flip, I wholesaled my first property. I didn't have the money to take a property down. You know, I just found the property. I put that property under contract and I assigned the rights to that property to an investor that was actually going to have the money to flip the property. And I made what's called a finder's fee or an assignment fee. That's what I learned how to do very well. And here we are 6 years later. We've done over 1,000 flips over these past 6 years, over 1,000 flips in just about every state you can think of, except in North Dakota and South Dakota. But we've been everywhere, brother. We've flipped properties in every, like, I have a company called nationalcashoffer.com and I have a company called offerkey.com. And guess what? We have flipped in every single state, just about every single state.
I love it all. And two things that struck out just about what you just said. Number one, he didn't even have an LLC when he did his first flip. Like, so those of you like, oh, I need to have all this prepared. No, you don't. Like, and like Carlos just said, you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great. And also another thing that you mentioned, Carlos, and this is huge to me, especially ever since I started CLS, like even that's why you and I are speaking here today, because I'm such a fan. I respect you so much. I don't have an ego, anything that I can absorb and learn.
Thank you, brother.
The power. Yeah. How Same. Important is it to network?
You know, I've learned at a much higher level now. There's power in proximity. There's power in proximity. Because of the proximity, I've been able to get next to guys that are worth nine figures. My combined companies may do over eight figures, but these guys are 300, 400, 500 million, 700 million, Joe Marion, Andy Frisella, right? Like all these guys, you know, Brad Lee, all these, Grant Cardone, right? I've been able to get like next to these guys. I got these guys' phone numbers. I've been on some of their podcasts, right? So proximity, there is power in proximity. I was just, look at the way this works. I was on the Andy Frisella podcast, which is called Real AF, right? I don't know if he means real as fuck or real Andy Frisella. I haven't asked him, but I will. I got to see what's going on with that abbreviation. But I'm on the Andy Frisella podcast. Next thing you know, Darren Woodson hits me up, right? And coincidentally, I'm a Cowboys fan, by the way. He hits me up. He's like, hey, brother, just heard your podcast with Andy Frisella. Love what you stand for. Would love to have you on my podcast. I fly to Dallas. This was this past week. I flew to Dallas. And brother, next thing you know, he's like, hey, I'm into real estate investing too. Can we do some business? So that church, you see, like it always spirals into something like fruitful. So yeah, networking and proximity, there is so much power in proximity. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love all this, man. You're speaking to my soul, and for the audience that can't see, you'd have to surgically remove the smile from my face because Carlos just speaks my language.
Thank you, brother. And Craig, let me tell you this. Like I said earlier, this may not make like the what we're talking here. It may not make a lot of sense to a lot of people right now, depending on where they are in their journey. Right. This is entrepreneur, you know, slang. Right. It's like speaking to Chinese to some people. Right. I don't want people. It is. I just guys like trust the process. Be patient. Some of this stuff will all make sense. And I'll give you the perfect example. My favorite book of all time, especially for mindset and growth, it's Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. I stand by that book. I endorse that book, right? I strongly encourage anybody out there that's really trying to take it to the next level in their lives, read Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. And guess what? There's an old saying, don't read one book, you know, don't read 10 different books one time. Read one book 10 different times, right? Or 10 times. When I first read Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, I'm like, man, this is a little confusing. I don't understand this. My mindset, right? It hadn't shifted to to the degree or to the level of what it would have to be in order for me to really understand thoroughly the language that was being spoken by T. Harv Eker. But then I revisit and I'm like, wow, this makes sense. Then I revisit and I'm like, okay, now I see what's going on. So people out there, if you're not understanding some of what we're saying, some of the things we're saying here, I promise, stick to it. You can look back on this. It will make sense.
100%. You got just stay in the lane and keep pushing and keep absorbing. And like, I'm always sharpening the axe. I can never get enough of it. And I love that about you too. Like, you're always reading, you're always expanding. Like you said earlier, it's not a destination, like this thing called life. It's a journey. We only get through this thing once, right? There's no sequel. And I've heard you say it before, like absorb everything. And never stop learning.
It's a marathon, brother. Like, you know, a lot of people think this is like a sprint and it's a marathon, man. It's like, one day at a time, you know, one day at a time, one step at a time. And for those of you that work out, one rep at a time, right? Like it literally, that's what life is. It's like, it is a marathon, one day at a time. And I know this sounds very like cliche to say, but the goal is for you to be better today than you were yesterday, right? What did you do today, right? Who did you network with? Who did you serve today? What book did you read today? Did you work out today? How was your nutrition today? How was your water intake today? You see what I'm saying? Like, what did you do today to be better than yesterday? And then out of that, you will find growth. And out of growth, you will find fulfillment. I want people to really understand that.
Bam. Everything you're saying, buddy, just resonates with my soul. And your audience is going to fall in love with you in 2 seconds if they don't already know you, but I'm sure that they do. When you did the first flip, but then you didn't have the LLC, at that moment, you said, I'm done with the other job. I'm going all in with my own thing.
So this is what I did. I want people to really understand the fact that, you know, your mind, it's a muscle, right? And once you give your mind a proof of concept, right? If you can do it once, you can do it 1,000 times, right? That's exactly like something just clicked in there. It clicked. And I'm like, man, I just flipped this and I flipped this house. I wholesaled this house and I made as much money in a matter of hours that I would have in like 30 days, you know, at my job. So what I did was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to save 4 months of reserves, 4 months of reserves in the bank account, and then have 3 to 5 deals in the pipeline and quit my job. And that's exactly what I did.
So you're a visionary like your mom.
I got my hustle from her. I got everything from her, man. I you know, a lot of folks don't understand this, but if you really take a look at, like, if I were to make you do what's an exercise, it's called shadow work. It's something that I do with, I got different personal development coaches, all year long, by the way. Not only do I have personal development mentors, but I have my third grader. She does 2 sessions a week with one of my personal development coaches, Tanya O. Oliver on Instagram. And my wife does 2 sessions a week. Right. So not only am I concerning for my growth, but I'm concerned, right, that my family grows to that level also with me. I'm bringing them along with me. Right.
Yeah.
But again, I want people to understand that proof of concept. When I got going, no LLC, I didn't know how to run numbers. I didn't know what an MAL, which is a maximum allowed offer, was. I didn't know what an ARV, after repair value, was. I didn't know what an assignment contract was. I didn't know anything. Anything, but guess what? Rough draft moves. Rough draft moves. I started failing forward. I just took massive action. Yes, the stuff you see on the freaking Instagram memes are real. But guess what? They're not real until you implement and execute on these memes that you see on Instagram. Yeah. Once you start living those memes, right? I drop a lot of like pictures with like stuff from my life,
yeah,
like things that I, you know, from experience, right? Like, until you start doing the work, you will not know what it's like what these things are, right? Like, oh, time is money, like all these little memes that you see from entrepreneurs. Yeah, it's a lifestyle. It's a different language.
And also, Carlos, one thing that I think is so valuable to you, and it's about what you're just saying, is there's never a perfect time. Show up messy, but just show up and you'll figure it out. You'll strategize.
Brother, entrepreneurship is like, it's like having kids, right? I think this is the first time I ever said this. Like, There's no perfect planning and time. Oh, we're going to get pregnant. No, it's just like, right? Like, you'll figure it out. And I'll tell you what, right? And this is for all the parents out there, right? I didn't have a father, you know, but I'll tell you what, I consider myself, the only reason why I say I'm a great father is because my wife and my kids tell me that I'm a great father, not because I consider myself a great father, right? Because you can, man, that's one thing that you'll never conquer. Like, you'll never master the art of fatherhood, right? But I'll tell you what, if you love your children, you will be a great parent. And that goes referring back, circling back around to entrepreneurship. If you become obsessed with the intention, not the idea, not the goal, the intention of becoming an entrepreneur and having freedom, right? You will become very good at it. Just like the pregnancy and having kids and becoming a father. I want people to really understand that there is no perfect timing. The perfect time, as cliche as it may sound, is today, right now, as soon as possible.
Yep. Love all that.
I'm very selective and strict when using any types of products, period. However, the CLS experience is all about elevating your state and getting the mind right, as it is our biggest asset in life. Something I've incorporated into my life is CBD, specifically Sweat CBD. Just like this podcast, Sweat CBD is all about enhancing your state, designed to optimize your physical and mental well-being. I personally love their products, specifically the oil and the gummies. I've tried a few different CBD brands and products, and to me, this is the most natural feeling. I love their products and what the brand stands for. The founder of Sweat CBD is a dear friend of mine, and she's offering the entire audience, all the listeners, CLS Family and Universe, a special promo code. Enter CLSCBD at sweatcbd.com. Enjoy. I love you all.
And also, you talk about often how motivation is temporary, which I couldn't agree more. That's why I'm all about revamping.
You've been paying attention.
Yes, buddy. I do my homework.
You've been paying attention, brother.
Yes, I have. I want to show you that respect that I have for you.
And man, that's love, bro. That's love. Let me tell you why, man. Like, when I hear people like yourself, you know, people that are entrepreneurs, Darren Woodson, like, he's like, hey, man, I read your post, man. And you made a lot of, he actually, just like you're kind of calling out some of the posts.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, man, that makes it all worth it, right? Like, people paying it, like, real entrepreneurs understand my language. You know what I mean?
100%.
So you've been paying attention. You're right. There is a huge difference between commitment and motivation. Motivation is a temporary emotion. Commitment is not a temporary emotion. It's not. It is a promise to yourself. It is a promise to the people that are depending on you. There are people counting on you. I know that you may be counting on yourself, but there's people. My mom was counting on me, whether she told me that or not. My wife, my children, they're counting on me.
Yeah.
The people that I serve, the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I serve now, they're counting on me. So yes, there's a difference between commitment and motivation for sure.
Yeah. Love that. And people ask me, like, how did I blow up, you know, my CLS brand so fast this year? What they don't see, I'll be straight up, is the 20-hour days. And ultimately came down to the pandemic provided me something I haven't had in 10 years living in Manhattan, owning my own business, a moment to reflect. And I decided at that time that I wanted more and I wanted to make a major impact. And I was unfulfilled doing what I was doing, even though I was making money. It really just comes down to a decision. How bad do you want it, right?
You know, everybody out there that's they're just fixated on the fact like success, like money equals success. I got a bad fucking news for you. No, that's not the case. I can tell you this. I spent 30 plus years of my life thinking that money equals success. And then once I started making six figures a month, it took me 3 short months to get like, okay, that's cool. What's next? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I want people out there to really understand that you cannot sit here and think that money equals success, because guess what? When you start making a lot of money, right? And you get all the things you ever wanted, right? In my case, you know, the big house and the Rolls Royce and all that crap, all the junk. I'm actually in the process of selling my Rolls Royce. I'm going to try to sell in the next 30 days. My Wraith, it's just sitting there collecting dust. It's just a six-figure car just sitting there. I'm like, oh, okay, I can get rid of that and go buy an apartment complex, you see? So I want people to really understand that the money gets old a lot quicker than you may think. Okay. So do not attach your identity. Do not attach your definition of success to the bank account. No. Attach it to the projects that you're building, the people that you're serving, your family being happy and fulfilled, you being healthy, being mindful, being conscious, right? Being compassionate, being empathetic of others. Like, I know a lot of people that make a lot of money that are absolutely miserable.
Miserable.
Broken families, divorces, children all over the place. Health is in the crapper. Like, no, there's so much. Like, money is an entire equation. Like, success is an entire equation, and money is just a part of it. Money is just a very small part of that equation that equals success.
Yeah. The audience is just so valuable. And Carlos, another thing is, like, when I put my ego aside and I got a mentor and started reaching, asking for help, I became obsessed with it and I couldn't believe the difference. And it was just one of the best decisions I've ever made. A lot of people out there are afraid to ask for help. How important is it? And also, when did you start having like personal development coaches and mentors? And how
March of 2019. And I was the same way. I was crushing it. I'm like, I don't need nobody. What am I going to learn from this guy? Right. I don't get out of here. Right. And, Right. And I was like, March of 2019 was the first year I said, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna set aside 50K, you know, and go, you know, attend some masterminds and hire a mentor. Then in 2020, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do 150,000 for personal development, right? And I'll hire a mentor, join a few masterminds, everything, like throw events and things that, like, you know, I'm in so many, like, you would not believe the kind of masterminds I'm in, right? I'm like biotech and, you know, solar, like I'm paying, you know, founders group with a guy named, you know, JT Fox, right? So I'm everywhere, right? Love and it. My goal this year is $250,000 in personal development and mentorship. So
let me just repeat that to the audience. Carlos's goal is to spend $250,000 on investing and betting on himself. Let that sink in for a second.
And my family, because I personally spend on any given month between 10 and 15,000 on just the personal development side for myself, my wife, and my daughter. Every month, by the way, it's either 10 or it could be from 10 to 15, depending on the coaches that we use that month. Because these coaches, brother, they don't charge you anything less than 5,000. So, you know, it equates. If you got two coaches, you're at 10K. You know, if you have three coaches, you're at 15K, right? Depending on what I need for that month, I'll tell you what, the minimum that will always be spent on myself and my family is $10,000. And then on top of that is masterminds and events and things like that. So yeah, I'll get to $250,000 this year.
Yeah, I love that. That's the most important bet anybody can make. And a lot of people have the relationship with money, like their money mindset, instead of like, what kind of value am I going to get out of this? What kind of pay is going to send me down? It's like, oh, how am I going to afford that?
You know what excites me the most about money?
Tell me.
Putting it to work.
That's it.
Putting it to work. Literally, like, you know, my CFO, Brittany here, she's like, hey, you can pay yourself this much this month, blah, 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 you know? And literally, like, she tells me what I'm going to pay myself, and the rest is where? The rest is among the 27 other companies that we own, right? And we're developing, we're in the process in the next 30 to 60 days and launching four new SaaS companies, software as service company, right? We have four new softwares coming out in the next 30 to 60 days, and we already spent over $1 million into building these softwares. See, that excites the hell out of me because, brother, I don't see money the way other people see money. People see money and they're like, oh, I got to hang on. What's up, brother? I got to hang on to, brother, I this building that I'm in right now, we bought this building in December of 2019. The rehab, look at the floor, the glass everywhere. Right, look at this. Right, look at this. Right, look this is all. This is just one of my, this is the second floor of my building that I'm in, right? Beautiful. I bought this building for, you know, a couple million dollars, put $150K, $200,000 into rehabbing this place. See, I get excited about spending money in the right way. That's what I get. I don't give a shit about having money in the bank account, man. I want it out there doing something with someone, doing something, bring another venture, buying another company out, you know,
bringing value.
Developing another, that's what I love that's what I want money to always do for me, for sure. I leverage the hell out of it, for sure.
Likewise, brother. And Carlos, you always talk about, like, you're such an impressive leader, and I love that about you. And I believe, like, a corporation or a business will run as effective as a leader is. The camera is always on, so to speak. I love how you call your team members, not employees. How important is that?
I like to empower. I like to really, I like to, first and foremost, I like to lead from the front, right? I like to lead from the front. And I like to lead by example. I'm not the kind of guy, I've never been the kind of guy that, you know, do as I say, not as I do, right? Like, I'm always, you know, they know, like, my work ethic is my work ethic. And most of them match it. They see me eating on my desk, right? Like, today I took one of my disposition guys, I took him out to breakfast. It's his 21st birthday, by the way. This guy, imagine being 21 and you're moving millions of dollars in real estate every month, right? So that's why I have so much love for that kid, man. He's 21 years old today. Took him out to breakfast. I bought him a Johnny Walker Blue Label bottle for him, right? Oh yeah, I got him the good stuff, right? He's happy, you know. And that's how I like to lead, bro. I consider my team members family, so they're family to me, and I got to make sure, like, a good leader, right? His people, like a good leader's people, their happiness, their fulfillment. That's a reflection of the leadership that's 100%. Involved with that organization. So I want my people to feel empowered at all times, man. And they work better that way, you know?
And Carlos, I love how you look forward to that responsibility to set the tone, so to speak. Love that.
Absolutely.
How important is your faith to you? Because it's something that really gravitated me towards you as well.
I mean, it's everything. I mean, think about where I come from, right? Like, I come from nothing, you know, extreme poverty. If it wasn't for my faith, God knows, if it wasn't for my faith, you know, the faith that herself and the faith that she had in God. And then same thing, like she, you know, she passed that down to me. If it wasn't for my faith, I would not be anywhere. I would not be anywhere. I would, you know, same thing with my dog. Like I'm already installing faith in them. You know, it's like, prayer before every meal and going to church every Sunday and, you know, prayer when you get up, prayer before, you know, before you go to bed. It means a lot to me. Faith, brother, is like an invisible type of magic. You know, it's a belief system. So, it's very important in my life for sure.
Love that, my man. And I know you touched upon this a little bit earlier in the episode, but just to be a little more specific, like, people always ask me, because I'm such a high energy, and people always ask, like, who do you sharpen the axe to? Who are some of your mentors? Who gets you inspired? I like to say the world is my playground. I use different people from different things, whether it be movies, songs, juggernauts like you and so forth. Who are some people that you sharpen the axe to? Who are some people that inspire you?
So I have some of my personal, like, I got my spiritual mentor, Christian, Doc Ferris out of Tampa. He's a pastor out there and he's an entrepreneur. I have my, my personal development mentors, Jeremy Wilson up in Sedona, owner of multiple companies, publishing companies. He publishes some of the biggest names out there that you may know. Peter Tonton, Dan Fleischman, Charlie Jabali, Patty Singer, you know, a lot. I mean, he publishes all kinds of people, right? And then my other personal development mentor, Tanya Oliver on Instagram. I absolutely love that woman. She's helped me. She continues to help my wife and my daughter, grow, you know, spiritually and emotionally and, consciously. So these are just some of my board of advisors, right? But I also look up to guys like Andy Frisella, Ed Milet, and Tony Robbins.
Love that. All of it, my friend. That
and Joe Marion. Joe Marion, this guy, unbelievable, faith-driven entrepreneur, unbelievable person. By the way, humble. One of the most humble people you'll ever... Brother, I spoke on a stage with him at Thrive in October.
Yeah.
Brother, I was on my way out. He literally gave me his phone number. Like, the guy literally, you know, watch. Here, I'll show you. Because there's a lot of people out there that are just full of crap, right? So
most of them.
Yeah, check it out. October 17th, if you can watch.
Yeah.
Right there, love October that. 17th, Joe Marion. He just texted. He's like, Joe Marion. He's like, on my way out. He's like, here's, take my number for anything you need in Florida. I'm like, Joe, you're the man.
Love that.
You know?
Yeah.
So
early. And also early, you said your superpower is to push through adversity, which is the number one thing, in my opinion. For the audience that's listening, a lot of people want to get started. What is the mindset? What's the trait required to push through adversity?
you know what? Doing the things that you're afraid of. Like if you're afraid, like if your mind, right? Because our minds are literally a survival mechanism. Like our brains literally exist to help us survive, right? Like back in the days when there was a saber-toothed tiger or something, and you know, your mind would be like, run, right? Like you're out, right? Either, right? It's like run or fight. That's going to be the same thing. When you get yourself into some type of environment that makes you uncomfortable, right? You stop negotiating with your mind when it comes to things that are going to actually bring fruit to your life. Don't negotiate with your mind. You know what? Just take control. Like listen to your soul, right? Like listen to your soul. If your soul says, hey, this feels right, I know you're afraid, but just do it and see what happens. That's what I want people to understand. When these people are out there and they want to take some type of forward action on something that just like frightens the hell out of them, just do it. You know, just do it. Do it and see what happens. What's going to happen? It's not the end of the world. You know, you do it, you fail. Guess what? You learn. And I promise you now expanded your capacity. So you're going to come back and you're going to do it again. And this time you'll get it right.
Carlos, you're on absolute fire. You can't be stopped.
Thank you, my brother. God bless you.
The last thing I have to ask you is because I know your work ethic is second to none and you're always such a visionary. How would you suggest to the audience to avoid a burnout?
Take care of your health. Take care of your health. Make your health the number one priority. Don't neglect your health. I neglected my health for about 3 to 4 years. I stopped doing the things that made me a very healthy human being. You know, I wasn't working out as hard. I didn't have the drive for it anymore. You know, take care of your health. Health is wealth. And, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, nothing else is going to get taken care of. So take care of your health. You know, take care of your health and everything else will be taken care of. Because guess who takes care of everything else? You do. So Right. Don't neglect your health.
And not to sound too cliche, but it's like they say, when you have your health, right, you have 1,000 problems. But when you don't have your health, you have one.
Man, you're right. You're right. I'd rather have those 1,000 problems all day.
Yeah.
All day. Yes, sir.
100%. And for the audience listening, by the time this episode drops, we'll probably be at almost 100,000 downloads. If you love the conversation, hit up Carlos on Instagram, DM him, engage with him. He's super friendly. He loves to say what up. And obviously, every single time he speaks, you're going to get value out of it. Carlos, where do you hang out the most? Where can the audience find you?
Carlos Reyes on Instagram, for sure. Carlos Reyes on Instagram. I'm very responsive. Let me know you heard me on this podcast, and I'll definitely send you some love. I'll send you my free book. And for the audience that's out there listening right now, you know, if you want to get started in real estate and you feel you don't have a lot of money, you don't have credit, and you don't have a license, download a book called bestreibook.com. Bestreibook.com. That's my book that I wrote, and that's going to go straight into your phone, and it's going to give you everything you need to get started in house flipping with no money, no credit, no knowledge. So,
and just to be clear, not only does it help with that, but there's mindset tools and techniques that you can apply to life.
There's a lot of mindset in there. It's not just a real estate book.
Right.
I mean, you get what you get from me, right? You get some mindset, you get spirituality, and you get a lot of evergreen content in there. So
I love it. And I love you, buddy, so much. And I just want to thank Carlos. You don't shy away from your challenges as they've shaped you. It's something I find very relatable and liberating. I want you to know that you are the definition of perseverance, grit, and heart. From the trials and tribulations of coming to America, working for every dollar, hustling and grinding throughout your journey, you're the lamb, the sacrifice, and an inspiration to anyone coming up today as you continue to live the American dream with what I consider to be the most impressive work ethic on the planet. I could personally guarantee that your best is yet to come. You're someone I admire, I respect, and I appreciate very much. I love you, buddy, and I can't wait to continue to watch you fly. And this will definitely not be the last time that you and I collaborate.
God willing, brother, I love you. Thank you for your words, man. That's very inspiring to hear that stuff from you, man. It means the world to me, by the way. It means the world to me. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, buddy.
God bless you. Thanks for having me, bro.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.